Chof Hey Elul, Wednesday the 25th of September, Rabbi Yaakov ben Zaken, Tfilas Hana, Eli and Shmuel.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. We'll do a little bit of Lamdus and a little bit of Agadata. We prepare for Rosh Hashanah, so it's special. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read the Haftarah of Tfilas Hana, and I want to draw your attention to some of the issues in the Haftarah. First of all, a very powerful message. The Torah tells us, the Navi Shmuel begins the Sefer by telling us about his father, Elkanah, and it's very telling how Chazal interpret the description of what was happening in those days. I gave some photocopies if anybody wants to follow. Otherwise, you have Sidurim, you have the Haftarah in the back. His name is Elkanah. He has two wives. Hana doesn't have children. Pnina has children. And then the next pasuk says as follows. And he went up, this man, from his city, year in, year out. First of all, if you're going to Yerushalayim, or to Shiloh in this case, if you're going, where are you leaving from? Obviously leaving from your city. Where else are you going to be leaving from? This man went from his city. Says the Malbim, the reason why the Torah, why the Navi highlights, was because unfortunately he was the only one from his city who used to go up to Shiloh. The Maila was that he was the only one who used to go. And not only that, but he used to go, says the Malbim, he used to take, based on Chazal, he used to every year take a different route to go from his city to Shiloh. Why? Because he was trying to encourage other people to also come up and do Aliyah LaRegel, not to Yerushalayim, but to Shiloh, where the Mishkan was. So we learned about the righteousness of Elkanah, that he was insisting on going, despite the fact that no one else did, at least in his town. And the reason that we need to ask ourselves is, why weren't people going? I mean, it's a special thing. Why wouldn't they go? And the Malbim explains that the reason they weren't going is because the pasuk says, in the same pasuk, he was going leishtachavot velizbach l'Hashem tzvakot, to prostrate himself, that's tefillah, velizbach, that's korbanos, l'Hashem tzvakot, b'shiloh v'sham shene b'nei Eli chofeni u'finchas kohanim l'Hashem, because there were two sons of Eli, chofeni u'finchas were kohanim l'Hashem. What does that have to do with him going up to Shiloh and with other people not going up to Shiloh? Says the Malbim, that the reason people were discouraged from going to Shiloh was because of the corruption of Shnei B'nai Eli. Shnei B'nai Eli were corrupt. And their corruption dissuaded people from going. But what am I going to go to Shiloh for? To see these two Rishayim? For that, I don't have to put up with that. You're supposed to go to inspire yourself. And instead of being inspired, you came back upset. And you came back uninspired. If this is what it's two sons of Eli are about, so then why should I go? Why should I make the effort? So he wouldn't go up. So he was the only one. He said, no, despite that there's what to gain from it, and despite that it's a special place for tefillah, special place for korbanos, and I'm going nonetheless. And that speaks about the righteousness. Sometimes when the things that are bad around you, you don't make the effort to filter out of the bad and to focus in the good. What Elkanah is teaching us is that even if there's things that are bad around, don't throw the baby in the bath, right? Don't discard the good just because there's some bad around. Get over, disconnect from the bad, disassociate yourself from the bad, ignore the bad, focus on the good, and take advantage of the good. That was the lesson of Elkanah. So he used to go out lishtachavot velizboach. The reason why he says lishtachavot velizboach, if you look at the end of Tfilas Hana, when they go up after Shmuel was born, After Shmuel is born, they go Lisboach. It doesn't say Leishtachavot veLisboach, it says Lisboach. It says them out because at the end of the story, once Shmuel is born, they don't need to go Leishtachavot. They're not going to pray for Shmuel, for the birth of a son to Chana. Chana has children already, and therefore, we don't need to go for that. Continues the Navi. Hard to compete. Vayhi ayom, vayizbach el Chana, vanatan lifnina, ishto ulchol vaneh ubnoteh amanot, and he makes the korbanos, and he distributes part of the korbanos to his children, to Penina, to Chana, he gives as well, mana achat apayim, fascinating, perushim apayim, some say, he gave it to her, but she was upset. There was upsetness in this. Because she realized when she got, even if she got a good portion, but she was getting a single portion, and she didn't have a portion for a child because she didn't bear a child. Continues the Navi. There was some issues with Penina. We're not going to get into that. V'chen yaseh shana b'shana. He would do this every single year. Midea loto bebet Hashem. Ken tachisena. Also, she would get upset every single year. V'tivke ve'lo tochal. And she would cry and she wouldn't eat. V'yomer la Elkana isha. One year, Elkana says to his wife Chana, Lam metivki. Why are you crying? Excuse me? You don't know why I'm crying? What kind of question is this? Lam metivki. Ve'lam me lo tocheli, and why don't you eat? Ve'lam me yira levavech, and why is your heart so bitter? So you feel bad in your heart. Halo anochi tov lach me'asara banim. I'm better to you than 10 children. What does it mean? I'm better to you than 10 children. Says the Malbim and the Adam Mefarshim. I'm better to you if it's because you need somebody to look after you. I'll look after you till your old age better than 10 children will. And if it's because of all the love that you would receive from your children that you would have, I will compensate for that and I will shower you with love that would be greater than the love of 10 children. Hard to understand how that's going to appease her. Right? But the Malbim says this is what he was saying to her. And suddenly, after all these years, and says the Malbim, fascinating, so far, Chana is a passive woman. So far, we don't hear from her. We don't hear what she does. We don't hear just what she feels. But we don't hear what she does. The righteous one, the active one here is Elkana. She's in the background. And suddenly, Chana leaves that passiveness, and she goes up, and v'hi marad nafesh v'titpalel el Hashem. She's bitter in her soul. V'titpalel, she starts to daven. U'bachot tivkeh, she cries. V'tidor neder, and she makes a neder. V'tomar Hashem tzvakot. By the way, Chazal say Hashem tzvakot. This is the first time that Hashem is referred to as Hashem tzvakot. He's mentioned like this is the beginning of the chapter, but that's only because Chana is going to use this terminology over here. Chazal say, why is he called Hashem, Hashem Tzvakot? Lord of Legions, they translate, right? Hashem Tzvakot. Because she was saying to Hashem, Hashem, I'm asking for one. I just need one soul. You have an oitzar, you have a treasure of souls that need to come into this world. I'm asking you for one. And you're the Lord of Legions, so please grant me just one. And she makes a neder. Imraot yireh ba'oni amatecha. Chazal say that she actually here negotiated with Hashem and she threatened Hashem. She threatened Hashem. Imraot yireh. Either on good terms or on bad terms. I'm going to have a child, Hashem. I'm determined right now. I'm determined to have a child. You want to help me? Otherwise, I'll twist your arm, quote, unquote. How so? Chazal say, she said, you gave a bracha in the Torah to the soita that is found innocent. So I will create a situation where my husband will be jealous of me. And if he's jealous of me, he'll be mekane, he'll give me kinoi, he'll forbid me to be in isolation with a particular man. And I will go ahead and be found in isolation in front of Edim. And then he will take me to Shiloh, and he'll make me drink the Meisoita, and I will be innocent. And then, since you have a promise Venizroa Zara, one Venikata Venizroa Zara, different ways of pronouncing it. So if you, in case you wanted to correct me there. She'll be clean and she will bear a child. So therefore, I will do that. Either you give me a child through my tefillah, or I'll force this child upon myself. That's what she says. So you see, Hannah transforms herself from the passive woman who is relying on Elkanah's prayer to a woman who's taking this matter completely into her hands and who comes to daven to Hashem with tremendous power. What happened here is Hannah realized when Elkanah was telling her, "Don't you know, I'll be for you, whatever a child can be, I'll be for you as well." She realized then Elkanah gave up. He's given up on it. He's come to terms with it. And he's trying to convince her to come to terms with it. But when she realizes that he's come to terms with it, and that he's accepted the situation, she realizes, "I can't rely on him anymore to daven. I have to take matters into my own hands." It's a tremendous lesson. Sometimes we're lazy. We don't do what we should because we're relying on someone else's tefillah. We're relying on someone else's looking after us. From here we learn, the power that you have inside, don't wait until somebody says, "I'm not going to do this for you, now you do it yourself." Take matters into your hands even before. Who knows, if Hannah would have done this before, maybe she would have been blessed with a child even before. But the impetus here came from the realization that it's in my hands only, quote unquote. Beficha bilvav chalasato, in this case. So this is a transformation of Hannah. And she dedicates, another thing we find here, and we learn tremendously, what is her argument to Hashem? "Give me a child, and I will give it back to you. What do I want? What's my tefillah supposed to be about?" And this is a tremendous lesson for Rosh Hashanah. We want health, we want parnasa, we want our children to get married, we want to have children, anicles, we have to have shalom bayis. Why do we want all these things? Because it's good for us, because it's nice, because it's pleasant. It has to be, bottom line, because we want to take all those things and give them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and dedicate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has to be the Kavanah. And Hannah says, "Hashem, just if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. I'll basically dedicate him to you for the rest of his life. Because I don't want a child for me. I don't want a child like Elkanah thinks, so that I could be in my old age looked after. I don't want a child so it can serve me and can shower me with love. No, that's not what I want a child for." Completely not what Elkanah was saying is what she's asking a child for. "I'm asking for a child because I want to participate, I want to bring into this world, I want to have shaychus with Avodas Hashem through my generations, through my progeny, and that's what I want. I want to kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through my child. And I want to dedicate him to you. I want to take that which you gave me and give it to you and offer it to you." That's the focus of our davening. If you daven for yourself, you should be davening for yourself so that you can give back to the community, give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the focus of our davening. And we learned this from Hannah as well. Now, the next 15 minutes, we'll do some lumdas. What happens now is fascinating. What happens now is there's a pasuk that is a very strange pasuk, and the Gemara in Brachos points out how strange this pasuk is. And the pasuk is like this: after Shemuel is born, and after Shemuel he's born, and Hannah says, "I'm not coming back to Shiloh with you these years until the boy is ready, until the lad is ready to be brought up to Shiloh. I'm not coming with you." Elkanah goes by himself. Then, we're skipping the whole part of the tefillah, Hannah, the quiet, etc., and her drunkenness. Maybe if you have a moment at the end, I'll explain what the emotion, in my opinion, is about drunkenness. So, go. You have the page all the way down. Second. Actually, the second page. Bata'alehu ima, and she brought him eventually up with her. Ka'asher gemalatu, after she had weaned him. Befarim sheloshan, she offered three oxes. Ve'efa achat kemach, and one efa of flour. Ve'nevel yain, and a canteen of wine. Bata'vi'ehu bet Hashem Shiloh, and she brings him to the house of Hashem in Shiloh. Ve'hanar na'ar. Vayishchatu et hapar, says the Gemara. Vayishchatu et hapar, they slaughtered the par, the ox. Vayaviu et hana'ar el Eli. And they brought the Na'ar, they brought Shemuel to Eli. What in the world does the first part of the pasuk have to do with the second part of the pasuk? Vayishchatu et hapar, vayaviu et hana'ar el Eli. Says the Gemara, that what happened was as follows. Chana had brought these korbanos, she was standing there with Eli and with Shemuel. And they brought the korbanos to Eli. And Eli calls out and says, "Nu, where's the Kohen who can do the Shechita? We're waiting for the Kohen to do the Shechita." No Kohen shows up. They're waiting and waiting. And Shmuel says, "What are you waiting for?" He says, "Well, I'm waiting for the Kohen to do the Shechita." He says, "But one second, Shechita Kshera Bezah. You can do Shechita even if you're not a Kohen. You don't need a Kohen to do Shechita." Eli looks at him and says, "Where do you know this from?" He says, "Well, the pasuk always says, Veshachat, Veikrivu HaKohanim, Veikriv HaKohen. When it comes to Shechita, it doesn't say Veshachat HaKohen. It's only Veikrivu, once you're talking about the Hakrava, only the following steps of the Korban, it says that the Kohen has to do. But the first stage, Shechita, the Kohen doesn't have to do. So why are we waiting for a Kohen? We don't have to have a Kohen." Eli turns to Shmuel and says, "You're right. You're actually right. But you chayav misa. More halacha bifnei rabo chayav mita. You've just passed in a halacha in front of me. And chayav misa as a result of that." There are many kashyas on this. The Mefarshim have lots of questions. I want to share some with you. There's a fascinating sefer. If you like Lomdus on Tanakh, I highly recommend a series of Sfarim called Rinas Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Sorotskin from Cleveland. Fascinating lumdus on Parsha and on Nach. So he asked the following question. As we continue to read, Chana says to Eli, "But one second. Ani ha'isha ha'nitzevet immecha. Don't you recognize me? I'm the one who davened here in front of you. You can't take my child. You can't kill him. You can't kill him. Don't you recognize me? Don't you realize who I am? Or who this child is? You're going to now kill him?" And he says, by the way, it's interesting. The Gemara says that he says to her, "Hanichali, let me and I'm going to kill him because it's Chaya Misa." And he says, I can't, what do you mean, let you? I can't let you, he's my child, and I davened for him. He says, "Well, sorry, but it's Chaya Misa." So she says, finally, he gives in. He says to her, "But don't worry about it, because even if I take him away, I'll make sure, by Rachme, I will daven, and you will have a child who's going to be better than him." Ever heard of... You ever heard somebody tell a woman, "Don't worry, if this child of yours is going to die, you'll have another one who'll be better"? I mean, what kind of... What are we talking about here? She says no. And what's her reply? "El hana'ar hazeh hitpallalti. I daven for this one. I daven for this one, not for another one. And you want to daven? I don't want a child that you daven for. I want a child that I daven for. El anar hazeh palalti." Now, Rav Yitzchak Sorotkin asked the following question. Can Mechila help? How? If he's Chayav Misa, he's Chayav Misa.
Why is he Chayav Misa?
Because he was Moreh Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. More halacha lishma. The first question, he's a child. How can he be chayav misa? By the way, the halacha, more halacha bifnei rabbi is chayav misa, is chayav misa bidei shemayim. It's not chayav misa bidei adam.
He asked
him. Huh?
He asked him.
He asked him who asked?
Eli asked Shmuel.
No. Eli didn't ask. Shmuel said, why are you waiting for a kohen? You don't need a kohen. And then Eli asked him, how do you know? But the halacha, he was saying the halacha before.
Okay.
So he was chayav misa. But if he's chayav misa, so then how can he forgive a chayav misa? Huh? Yes, he was a kohen, but he wasn't going to do the shechita for some reason. Good question. Why didn't he do the shechita himself? Maybe not, in the kohen gadol, he wasn't going to do every shechita. So says. How can it be moichel? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos. The Rambam writes that when he discusses the halacha of moire halacha bifnei rabbi, the Rambam writes that it is possible for a rav, even a rav muvhak, to be moichel in advance. If he says, "I don't mind if this person paskins the shaila," let's say you had a Moshe Feinstein, and then he had people waiting in line to ask questions for him, and then there was somebody who was doing shimush by him, and he said, "I'm a bit tired. He should answer the shaylos right now." Is he Moshe Halacha Bifnei Rabbi? No. And Moshe told him he could answer. He's Moshe Al Kvoido. So there's no problem. So in advance, if you're Moshe, there's no problem, Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. But this is not in advance. And not only that, he's asking him, how do you know this? And he's saying, you chayav misa. So obviously he's not Moichel. So why is she asking? And how can it change? So Rabbi Yitzchak wants to suggest as follows.
If it's Min HaShemayim, how are they going to stop it?
Oh. So you see from the Rambam that even though it's Min HaShemayim, but if the Rav is Moichel, then there's no... It's Min HaShemayim because it's Poigem in the Kavod of the Rav. And it's Poigem in the Kavod of Torah. But if the Rav is Moichel in advance, then it doesn't become a Pkam in the Kavod of Torah. It doesn't become a Pkam in Kavod of Rav. And therefore, there's no Chiyu Misa Bidei Shemayim. So the Misa Bidei Shemayim comes for the lack of Kavod, or the Pegiya in the Kavod of the Rav. Or in the Pegiya in Kavod of Torah. What?
Rav
Shemachal. No, okay. Rav Shemachal Kvoida Machol.
Kvoida
is Machol. Right. So he says like this. There was a machlokes here between Eli and Chana. What happens where in a situation where had you known the circumstances in advance, you would have been moichel. But you haven't been moichel yet. So, Chana was saying, don't you realize this is the son that I daven for? And had you known that this was the son that I daven for, you wouldn't have been makpid, because you sure would not have wanted him to die. You know how much I daven for this child. You know how much this child means to me. You know how much kedusha went in, and how much davening went into his birth. And had you known that, would you not have been moichel? So let it be considered as if though you were moichel. Milachatchila. And he said, but I wasn't. But this is what the argument between the two. And when Chana says, "Ani aisha nisevet im mechabaze, and elana alaze hitpalalti," then he gives in and he says, okay, enachiname. I would have been moichel. Had I known that it was him, I would have been moichel, and the mechila works. That's what he explains. Now we had a question about his age. How can he be chayav misa? If he's coming the first time, and how long did she wait? If asher gemalatu means when he was weaned, then he would have been 2-3 years old. But there's a machlokes. What does it mean? Ad gomla ito. We also have it by Yitzchak. Does it mean 3 years old? Does it mean 13 years old? Could be 2, it could be 13, it could be 3 or 13. Well, no, that's by Akedas Yitzchak. We're talking about when Yitzchak is growing up. So, if it's 3 or 2 years old, so I saw one of the Mefarshim say as follows. En achiname, you can't be chayav misa, but this is misa bidei shamayim. If it's misa bidei shamayim, then it would be perhaps connected, shayach, depending on the abilities and the consciousness of the child. If the child is smart enough to have all this cheshbon, he's smart enough to know not to be bar halacha bifnei rabbi. And if it's misa bidei shamayim, then mina shamayim it could be his chayav. Again, if it was a regular child, and he said it unconsciously, then you can't hold him accountable for it. But if we're talking about Shmuel, and we know that Shmuel has his whole cheshbon, and he knows exactly what, and he has the lomdus, if he has that level of lomdus to understand Shechita Ksheira Bezar and all this, then he's also chayav for being Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabbi.
Why did he do it? If you said that he was so witted. And
So here's another point. So why did he do it if he knew?
Why did he take the risk of being...
Why did he take the risk of being Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabbi?
It could be that he
wasn't there.
Huh?
The dog wasn't there at the time. The Shatut, they were waiting for him.
But Eli was there.
Eli wasn't there yet, not at the site. Then
he's not
present.
Oh. Right.
Then why is it Moir Alecholit?
No, but it's still considered Moir Alecholit Bifnei Rabbi if you are in the shtot of the Gadol Ador. If you're in the shtot of the Gadol Ador, it's considered Moir Alecholit Bifnei Rabbi even if it's not in front.
It could be that Shmuel realized that Eli wasn't really the Gadol Ador. The answer to such a simple thing.
That's not so simple. Now let me present something else that the Rina Sitzchak brings, which is a beautiful kasha on this story. 1 second. Yeah, 5 minutes. It's a beautiful kasha on this story. Says the Rina Sitzchak, there's an exception to the rule of Moire Halacha Bifnei Rabbi Chayav Misa. There's an exception to that rule. The exception is Leafrushe Meisura. If a person is about to commit an Isser, and there is a Gadol Ador, and there is a Rav, but he's not right away accessible necessarily, or a person is about to do the Isser, you are allowed to be Moir Halacha even Bifnei Rabbi, to stop a person from an Isser. Ask the Rina Sitzchak the following question. The Kohanim can only wear Bigdei Kehuna the moment that they're doing Avoida, for the purpose of doing Avoida. If they're doing something which is not Avoida, which is something which is kosher bizarre, which is permissible for a stranger, for a non-Kohen to perform, then they're not allowed to do that with Bigdei Kehuna. If that's the case, then when the Kohanim used to do Shechita, they couldn't possibly be wearing Bigdei Kehuna. If they were, they'd be mamash over halacha. So if we say that they didn't know this halacha altogether, it's very shver. That means that Kohanim throughout generations... Yeah, but those shechita that he did in Yom Kippur, he had to do it himself.
Couldn't be done.
No. But when the shechita is kshera bizarre... When the shechita is kera bizar, then the kohen who does the shechita can't wear Bigdei Kehuna. So he says, it must be that the kohanim were not wearing Bigdei Kehuna. Otherwise, he won't be chayav misa. Because if he was stopping them from doing the shechita, and as a result he would have also stopped them from wearing Bigdei Kehuna, it would have been permissible for him to say this halacha. So it must be that the kohanim were not wearing Bigdei Kehuna when they were doing the shechita. Which means that they knew the halacha. So what was the problem? So he says, the shechita was taking place in Tzafon, the Tzafon of the Mizbeach. That was inside. Generally speaking, that was an area of the Mishkan that only the Kohanim could access. Not Azar. So how can Azar do a shechita in a place in the Mishkan where you can't go in? Elamai, if he's kosher to do the shechita, for the purpose of doing the shechita, he's allowed to go in. It's a bit yevid to some degree. So in order not to bring zarim into the area where they're not allowed to, unless they're coming specifically for shechita, they established that only kohanim would do the shechita. But they were conscious that the shechita was ksheira bizar, and therefore they couldn't wear the big dekehuda. But in this case, the problem was that this was delaying the whole service. So if we're delayed, so let's, it's better that the Kohen should do it because Israel shouldn't come. But if we're waiting and waiting and waiting and nothing's happening, then bring a Zar. So, according to what he's saying, Eli was not necessarily fully aware that the problem of Zarim coming in was only a Derabonan in order to prevent from Zarim to be there generally. And therefore, he had said, he banned Zarim to come in. What Shmuel was saying was that under strenuous circumstances, under B'Sha'as HaDchak, since it's not really an Isser, certainly not an Isser D'oraisa, and here you have to bring the Korban, therefore it's preferable that a Zar should come and take care of it, and not that it should wait. That was a Mayra Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. That's what he was chayav for. On the issue of the other issue of the age, there is another teretz, which is that the psukim don't follow necessarily in order, in the sense that there might be a break. And Achinami, she brought him up to Yerushalayim, but it could be that this particular scenario that is describing, where there was a korban. And this happened later on. It wasn't the first year that they came. They came when he was 3 years old. They left him there. And in subsequent years, when they came up again, that's when the whole episode came. And then by that time, Shmuel wasn't old enough to be chayav for a Meir Alacha Bifnei Rabboi. And that's how we should read up the psukim. A good gebenshio.
Okay, Abayi Sai, we're still looking for a sponsor for next week.
Thank you.